So let me go to Alexis at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm fine. What's up?
My name is Alexis Hardman, and I would like to comment on the Trayvon Martin rally that was on Monday.
Okay.
And that I attended with a few family members and friends.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to say that Ajabu, I can't remember his last name, but I thought that he was very rude and disrespectful. He put his hands on a woman because he felt that he had something to say while the young lady wanted us to have a moment of silence. I thought it was very rude and it was disrespectful for the purpose of our rally for Trayvon Martin.
You know, as I said yesterday, I did not see the incident. And when I made that statement yesterday, I had not seen it with my own eyes and did not know of any video that was taken. Last night and this morning, some folks emailed me some video that has been posted to YouTube.
Yes, sir.
Of the incident.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And from what I've seen of the video, and again, it's a video and you never know whether stuff is edited. So I have to put all of that in context. It did look to me like Brother Jabu was trying to compete with one of the organizers that was already speaking. When the lady fell down, it was hard for me to tell whether that was deliberate or an accident.
It was deliberate. I was there.
Okay.
I was standing a few inches away from the incident, and I actually have it on my camera as well.
You know, I kind of knew when I heard booing, and I knew something had not gone according to Hoyle, and then people started telling me about what had happened. And I think at the time, there were folks who were hoping that it didn't get on the major television, because then that would have been the focus of the rally and not the positive things that went on at the rally. And then I said, well, I don't think the big cameras were in range, but there's too many iPhones and Droids and stuff that were out there. So, you know, I knew there would be some video. It was just a matter of time before it starts going up on YouTube, and circulating around. Let me put it to you this way. You know, anybody that wants to put their name out for political office and get involved in an incident where people feel very strongly that there was disrespect, that does not help your campaign.
Yes, sir. And I understand that.
You know, and I appreciate that. Like I said, I've seen now two videos of it, and I'm seeing the disrespect that you saw. This was not a rally where people should have been jockeying to try to lead and speak. Now maybe that's because I'm old school and I'm getting close to elder age. But I'm a thing of the people who call something are responsible for determining who speaks at the rally they called. You just don't walk up with a bullhorn.
Exactly.
Whether you're a Jabu, Greg Ballard, Andre Carson, the president, you just don't walk up and start talking unless it's your rally.
Exactly. And that's the way that I felt. He should have at least given her the opportunity to say what it is she had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, she just wanted a moment of silence for Trayvon Martin.
Right.
And then maybe she was going to let him have the opportunity to speak. But for him to just want to take over and to just, you know, kind of push her down, I thought that was extremely rude and disrespectful, and I was highly offended. And some of the people who I were with, they were offended as well.
You know, you can never take back a YouTube moment.
Yes, sir, I know.
You know, I appreciate the call, my sister. Thank you. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's After News. Name is back to the phones in Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
Oh, Amos, I'm just so confused about this police thing. It's just crazy the way they're having these police spread it out like they do. I mean, my father used to always say you can use your head for more than a hat rack. But this here thing, I mean, if a person was a criminal, they were to annoying that the police is on one side of the city, or even just call in and say, well, there's a robbery over here, and then all the police go on one side of the city, and then that leaves an open door there.
No, absolutely, unless you have enough man and woman power
to cover
the city. Like, now, fill it, you know, a town that's got If we had,
Amos, we don't.
I know we don't. If we had 3,000 police, maybe we could do this. Maybe.
Yeah.
If we had 3,000 cops, and I know the FOP is bitterly against this, and, you know,
FOP. Hey, that sounds like that alone would increase crime more, and especially in our communities. I mean, we don't even have. I would even feel better if they could just take the cops and just let them walk the beat. At least they would know about the neighborhood. They would get to intertwine with the people in the neighborhoods, know who to call. And then not only that, the people could see that there's a policeman out there and would probably think twice to do anything.
Well, you know, the neighborhoods that have the cul-de-sacs and the apartment complexes, you can't really walk a beat. I mean, right. in some of the township neighbors, first of all, there's no sidewalk, so how can poor police officer walk the beat?
Well, that's true.
Now in the more traditional city neighborhoods with the short blocks, that are more quote unquote urban, and not urban because it's black, urban because it's, you know, the old city. Yeah, you can have the beats, but you need a lot of officers to do that, because what's deceptive is the 1,630 sworn officers we have. That's everybody that took the oath and has the badge and the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to strip away all the managers. Now you got to take away the detectives.
Yeah.
Then you got to take away all the officers that are in the specialized units. And then once you get rid of that, maybe you're down to barely 1,000 cops that are the street patrol. Now you divide those up into three shifts, and then divide that three shifts into the 100 beats. Do the math.
Well, see, this is what I'm trying to, you know, hopefully they can understand. I mean, some things you can have just used plain common sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just plain common sense. And I'd like to also make a comment concerning this Zimmerman guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, if that isn't an excuse, that's the biggest excuse. That reminds me of some of the program. He should be on this one now, the criminals with the, some of the.
Oh, world's dumbest criminals.
Yeah, this guy. I mean, come on, you gonna come up with something just as stupid as that? Come on now, he's walking out here with a gun.
Yeah, wait. My favorite is when they flip to Trayvon, hit him in the nose, in the face, and knocked him down. Now I'm 150 pounds.
That's my.
I'm 150 pounds. I don't think. Even if I had Muhammad Ali 12-ounce boxing gloves on, and I hit with both fists together, not separately, both fists, I don't think I could knock down with one punch, you know, thing to the face, a 240 or 50-pound
exactly.
man. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think so.
Well, and if I did, I need to be on World Federation Wrestling.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, good points, my brother. 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's neighbors. Let me go to Khadijah, and then we'll take a break. Hi, Khadijah.
Hey, how you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Good. I just wanted to kind of segue in on the last caller about the rally on Monday, which was a very honorable and dignified effort by the organizers. I don't even remember the name.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we have to speak out for what is right. And the behavior of Ajabu Monday was despicable. And as a grown woman with children, and with children that were not my own that were out there on Monday, and we were there to represent and, be supportive of this family. He first started off on the other side of the street with his bullhorn and, you know, saying his things. And then the organizers organized across the on the mall on the other side. He left that big crowd and went over there shouting things like, we don't need other people to come in and do for us, and, you know, we can do for ourselves, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the reality of it is that even though while we are supporting the eradication of racism, We also have to be supporting the education of what is intelligent and what is right. And that divisive, that rhetoric that he is speaking, nobody wants to hear it. And who in the world does he think he's going to represent with that kind of philosophy or with that kind of theory that he moves with to be representative of a district that is diverse? And also, when they talk about him being the leadership, I wish people would stop saying that he doesn't lead, nor does he speak for me. And if he does speak for someone or he leads someone, then they may want to keep him, you know, inside their fence. But we don't need that type of representation for our children. We don't need that type of representation for or from our community. And I, for one, am appalled at his behavior, and I wish he would stop it.
All right, my sister, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is after news. The name is, folks are already sending me links to this video not only sending them to me at praiseindy.com and clicking on the email, they're sending them to me on Twitter, at AmosWTLCIndy, AmosWTLCIndy on, Twitter. Getting it from all, is it? Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310 is after news. The name is, what else is on your mind? We'll tell you about Father Boniface Harden's service yesterday over at Martin University, including there's a link between today's hoodie and ancient times. I'm just saying it that way. We'll tell you more. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. Back to the phones. And Tina, hi there.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
Good. I just wanted to call in and echo some of the comments that I've been hearing about the Trayvon Martin rally on Monday as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. I had a pretty upfront bird's eye view of what happened there with Minister Ajabu. And I was just horrified to see what that was as far as him pushing the woman. My understanding is that he was upset that a Caucasian woman was one of the ones that was actually leading the rally. And if that's true, I would only say that I believe that the white community as well as the black community would do well to remember that in the civil rights movement that happened and that took place, that there were many white people that marched along alongside of blacks and even suffered, bled, and died for the cause as well.
Absolutely.
And I think that what we need to do is not further polarize the races, but to try to do whatever we can to bring them together. I'm not upset, and I'm not mad or angry at anyone of any race that mm-hmm. tries to do something positive towards that end and to try to bring justice, you know, where injustice is being done.
I know, and you're absolutely right, because I think the Trayvon case is different from some of the other cases. Where, you know, I look back at the Jenna 6 case. Mm-hmm. If I remember right, and somebody, if I make this wrong, someone I know out in the audience will correct me, but I don't think in the Jenna 6 case that mm-hmm. Nancy Grace was on the side of Jenna 6.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Joe Scarborough was on the side of Jenna 6. Mm-hmm. And there's other whites and other races who were silent during Jenna 6 that mm-hmm. are not silent on the Trayvon case and are on the positive side of this issue. Joe Scarborough, again this morning on Morning Joe, flat went off.
Yeah.
On his own state. I mean, he's from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Floridian. And he's conservative. Does not, I mean, respects the president, but don't, you know, would like him not to be president. Let's just be real. And he is just very outspoken on the miscarriage of justice in the Trayvon Martin case. And he said this morning, and I'm going to paraphrase, that he said if Trayvon had had the weapon and Zimmerman had been white and the roles would have been reversed, Trayvon would have either been facing cut a deal for life without parole or get ready for the electric chair.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at him going, brother, you're right.
Yeah.
But to hear someone like him say that to America.
Right.
See, if I say it, Al Sharpton says it, Jesse says it, NAACP says it, white America will go, yeah, right, sure.
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough said that's a whole different kettle of fish. And uh-huh. then Nancy Grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Nancy has torn the whole Zimmerman case to shreds.
Yeah.
I mean, she has been more vicious on this than with Lindsay, Lohan, and I even think on OJ.
Yeah.
And so sometimes racism is so outrageous mm-hmm. that white folks have to say, doggone it, that's outrageous.
That's it. And I think that we as our, you know, black community, as our black leaders, you know, there's something that the Reverend Jesse Jackson said many years ago that I've always held true and remembered, and that is that the greatest deterrent against racism is excellence. And so, you know, I will be supporting 100% Congressman Andre Carson as I have. Somebody like Reverend or Minister Ajabu, I would not give my support to because I believe that he would further polarize. And he's not a person, especially seeing after what I saw on Monday, not a person that I would really feel comfortable representing me. As, again, as the other caller called in and mentioned, you know, we need somebody that's going to represent the 7th Congressional District in all of its diversity. And I think that Congressman Carson has done that. He's continuing to do that. He's continuing to follow in the footsteps and the great legacy of his grandmother in doing that, even when she represented, you know, the center township.
Mm-hmm.
The trustee's office. You know, she represented those that were underprivileged and poor. And statistically, there are more poor white Americans than white folks in Indianapolis than there are blacks because they have greater numbers. And she did a great job of representing everybody, all people. She didn't turn anyone away.
All right, good.
And certainly... Congressman Carson is continuing the fine job that she set forth the example for.
All right, good points, my sister. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dexter at 239-1310. Hi there.
Man, I tell you, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that Ojabu, man, I was down there and I saw that what was going on. And you know, he owes that lady an apology for all that because it wasn't about that, man. Everyone down there having a good time, you know, doing the right thing, supporting Trevon, and he showed out, Amos. He did. And he needs to apologize to that woman so we can move on with this. And I just wanted to just you know, echo what everybody else was saying. I saw the video, too. I wanted to make sure that what I saw was the right thing, and it was exactly what I saw.
So he
needs to apologize.
So the video matched what you saw with your eyeballs?
Yeah.
Okay.
He needs to apologize. Because I saw the commotion, and I go, what's going on over there? And then I started hearing, he pushed this woman down, and then I heard there was video, and I looked at the video, I go, man, that ain't right, man. I know we beat up the police all the time, but come on, when it's time to call out at home, we got to do the same. And that man needs to apologize, that woman, that's all I got to say.
All right, let me go to Marie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just wanting to know, as far as in hearing this, and I know you have that gentleman, you've had that gentleman on a number of times,
mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for you to say, you need to call in and kind of explain what's going on, unless you've already done that, and I've missed that. The other is do you have to make everything a negative and start out? I would appreciate you being more of a community builder as opposed to a person that starts out negative. Take half the show and just be positive. Don't stir the pot with everything. Everything does not have to be a negative. And when I listen, you give us too many negatives in the little bit of time that you have to empower us and make us be a better community.
I appreciate the constructive criticism, even though I wish I don't think she listens when we do something positive. Anyway, 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go to Reggie. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, Amos, I heard the situation. I was down there, but I didn't see it. And I hope that what I heard was not true. but obviously it is. So I would hope that Ajabu would be man enough to stand up and apologize. Amos, that was a rainbow coalition down there. It was a rainbow. It wasn't just black. It was white. It was Hispanics. Everybody for the right cause. And I thought that was great. As the lady said before, both black and white has died for our rights to achieve the things that we have achieved right now. So it's a sad situation that happened, but we as a community must stick together. Right's right, wrong's wrong. And a woman is a woman, and to push a woman down or to violate a woman in any capacity, it is wrong. And we have to stand up for what's right. Whether it's a brother that we respected, still respect, but he owes an apology and must be held accountable.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go to Paul right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, my friend.
Hi.
Hey, I want to know the situation. I wasn't there, but I'm listening to everybody. Did anybody try to stop that or correct that? I just want to know, because it seems like we got a generation, we watch things, and we don't do nothing, and then two, 3 days later, we talking about it. We need action instead of all this talking and letting stuff go on.
Paul, I can say, having seen a couple of the tapes of the incident, that there were people that were correcting the situation after it occurred.
Okay, I just want to know, because he's a leader, and he should know better. And not, even though being a leader, you're a man, you should never put your hands on a woman.
I think that, the tape that I saw, it was not clear to me whether the young lady who was one of the organizers slipped on that incline. That part was not clear to me in my looking at the tape. However, when it happened, the crowd booed. When it happened, people kind of came over and were trying to take positive corrective action.
Right. Yeah,
to deal with that. Yeah, and to put
it wrong that it seemed like he put his hands on her. And if he didn't, I'm sorry, but if he did, he shouldn't have done that. Thank you, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will hear from Reverend Mamoji Ajabu on this. After this with Amos on a Thursday. Welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's After News with Amos. A number of people have called with some concern of what they saw either at the Trayvon rally on Monday or on video that is floating around YouTube. Concerning behavior by Reverend Mamoji Ajabu, and he's on the line. Hi there.
Amos, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How would you address the concerns that you've heard from callers?
I would address it like this, that in order for you to understand an event, you have to understand what led up to the event. And Amos, no disrespect to you, but because I've had experiences where it's that you don't let me get out what I'm trying to say, I want to invite your listeners to my website, ajabuspeaks.squarespace.com. Before the evening's out, I will put up my full supply. And I got video of what happened also, so that you can see the full effect of how sister, and Lord, she is my sister. I would protect her at all costs. But my mama taught me, and hopefully she's supposed to be a vet. Hopefully the Army taught her that you don't go and take other people's property. You don't. You can't just take people's property. And I will put my response up in full on with video on ajabuspeaks.squarespace.com. And that should be up. I would say I'd get it up there no longer.
All right, thank you for the website plug, and I appreciate that. But let me, there's several callers asked would there be an apology to the young lady involved?
And again, I heard Red say that, and that you know, that really hurts me, because people know who I am, and especially Reggie knows who I am. And the Reds, my brother, do you really think that a Jabu would push his sister down? Do you really think that? And Amos, you yourself, you said, well, you couldn't tell whether she slipped or what. Why would the people in the sounded like an elderly sister was talking to you with constructive criticism? Mm-hmm. Why would you go to the negative when you know who I am?
I didn't go to the negative.
No, I'm talking to Reggie.
I did.
I'm talking to Reggie.
And that I can't
Reggie
answer.
Reggie knows me very full well, and I'm talking to him.
All right.
Listen, brother, you just came by into that negative. You know me. You know my heart. You know how I've been in this community defending our people at cost. Right now, I got a phone call from Pendleton saying that they have put, from an inmate, mind you, saying that they have put my son under threat because they saw me down there defending Trayvon. Man, I put a lot on the line, not only my life, but my son's life. Now, the brothers told me that they're not going to let the police harm him. But I'm trying to share with y'all, this is a job. I ain't been playing. I've always been true blue, and I plan to be true blue. I was there. I didn't see Andre. I was there, and I will be there when our people call. You can't find Andre in the neighborhood. I was there, and I will be there, and I will continue to fight, and I will never.
Reverend Rajabu, I get all of that. Let me ask a question. Did the three organizers of the rally, either of the three organizers, invite you to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
What happened? Let me. And again, all of this is going to be up on my website.
I got the website plug, and I'll let you do the website plug at the end of this, but let's move forward.
When we left Attic,
mm-hmm.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. When we left Attic, we started marching. I had a bullhorn. And somebody that was leading, I thought, in a leadership position, because we were doing the old civil rights struggle, no justice, no peace,
mm-hmm.
No justice, no peace. What do we want? Freedom. When do we want it? Now. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. And he come up and he says, can we get you to say, Skittles and tea, don't shoot me. Okay, we went with that. People are hollering. We really rolled it. When we got downtown, I didn't see anything organized or to the park. I didn't see anything organized. And so, and this is on video. So the people asked me to speak. They said, I want to hear from the elder. I want to hear from the brother that's been out here. A job who has stood with us. Can I hear from him? As I was talking to them, the very sister who come and tried to take my bullhorn asked me, can I use the bullhorn? I gave her the bullhorn. Said, here. She got to talking, and she wanted to talk about how we had to love the police, and she was sick and tired of black people killing black people. I said, sis, that's not the reason why we're down here. Right after I took the bullhorn from her, the white woman, who I didn't know, came up and says, look, I organized this. I want to take people over here. The people said, we don't want to hear from you. We want to hear from the elder. Let a Jabu speak. Let a Jabu speak. And it wasn't too long after that, and I did speak. Pastor Adams, Preston Adams,
mm-hmm.
come up and asked me, Brother Jabu, they got a stage and stuff over here. Why don't we bring everything over there? I said, brother, we can do that. That's how I got over there. I didn't see the stage or anything. And when the sister came up and just tried to take my stuff, I didn't even see her. And when she tried to take my stuff, I wasn't going to let her take my stuff. Who was she to take my stuff? And when she tried to take it, I held on to it firmly. She lost her footing and fell.
Mm-hmm. But the lady that came up to you was one of the organizers, correct?
I don't know, Amos. I don't really know who organized the thing. That's I called you, if you remember, right? Mm-hmm. I said, Amos, who is organizing this thing? You said it's strictly grassroots. I said, who? You said, I don't know. I'll get back with you. I never know who was organizing the thing. It didn't look like it was organized to me. That's the reason why I started providing leadership, because that's what I do. I know how to move a march. I know how to interact with people. I know how to make sure that things don't get out of hand. That's what I do. That's my history. I've been doing it for 40 years.
All right, and then so the complete of this will be on, what's the name of the website again?
Ajabuspeaks.squarespace.com, and I'll try to have that up before the end of business.
And will it, but you're saying no apology?
Amos, I'll deal with that on the website, you know, and we'll see if sister can at least respect her elders.
All right.
Whereas that you don't try to be taking other people's stuff and give respect to a man that has been out here on the fighting line for our people for 40 years. Respect is due.
All right, my brother, I appreciate it. Let me go to Denise at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I would like to make a comment and then ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
My comment would be, yes, that Brother Ajabu has been on the front lines for 40 years, and that's even more the point why he maybe should go ahead and pass the torch and shouldn't be trying to run against Andre Carson for the 7th District. And my question would be, from what I was down there, I did try to avoid, I heard that there was some fighting going on, but what I saw from the YouTube is that the lady who is the one that organized the event ask him to give her the bullhorn, and he resisted to give her the bullhorn, and she told him that she was the organizer of the event. And I think as a minister and as someone that is running for political office, that the dignified thing would have been to hand her the bullhorn, since she is the one that organized it. And I wondered if you felt the same way, Amos, that someone in a leadership position was asked to hand over the microphone / bullhorn to the person that had actually put the event together.
I'm going to say it another way. Was this rally well and professionally organized? No. And from the standpoint of an organization doing it, no. This was pure down-home grassroots.
Right.
A lot of the leaders of our community knew that and took the position that this was a grassroots rally, that this was the people from the bottom up speaking out, and that we would be present and stand on the sidelines. Not standing on the sidelines to see something fail, but standing on the sidelines to give respect to those that have put it together. Were we nervous? We were a little bit nervous, because when something is grassroots and is not fully organized, you don't know whether, if trouble breaks out, they can control it. So to be honest, I was nervous. But
the thing is that the failing actually came from someone that is claiming to have been in leadership for 40 years. Otherwise, there were 2,500 people. They were walking in an orderly manner. They gathered in an orderly manner. And my understanding, it was a mom of 2 biracial sons who had put this together and was passionate.
And then
she was the one that wanted to speak.
And there was an two African-American women that were also involved. The other thing was, there were some cries at the rally, give Amos the mic, give Amos the mic. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I kind of walked back to the stage, and Reverend Pastor Drain looked at me and asked, did I want to come? And I'd already decided it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the people that put it together.
Right.
And I just very nodded my head and said, no, it's about y'all. It ain't about me.
because sometimes it's better to lead from a following position.
No. It's sometimes better for leaders to see, leaders to watch, leaders to learn. There are a number of us, including some of our black elected officials, learned on Monday. They learned things they didn't know. They learned about the power of social media. They learned, and so they learned about emotion. And we're all proud of how that rally turned out. You know, when I'm standing on the corner in front of our offices and studios here, seeing people just come. Walking, and then I'm there trying to protect them from cars jutting out. That's real leadership.
Right.
It's not, you know, here I am. I was trying to do my work, taking pictures, observing people are yelling my name. I'm trying to be polite. And then I got to stop that to, hey, car, don't go through there. That's leadership.
Exactly.
Sometimes leadership isn't about you. It's about others. Anyway, 239-1310. 239, appreciate the call. We'll take a break. More stuff after these. 239-1310. Tomorrow we're at Wheeler Dow Boys Club talking about providing services to African-American youth where they live now, not where they lived 40 years ago, among other things. 239-1310. Back to the phone, Brother Kareem. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing, Amen?
I'm fine.
You know, I didn't go to the rally, and you know my feelings about it, but it was successful until this incident. But I'm calling in because I know Ajabu's history, and it's sick and tired of being lied to. Ajabu disrespected Reggie when Reggie tried to yield. Reggie still gave him respect and said, look, man, you made a mistake. Apologize. You did it, too. I mean, this man, when we was live with you down at the city county building, and the young lady on the NAACP, you wanted her to speak. Ajabu was in the line. He didn't want her to speak. He tried to get in front of her. He was literally going to take and move this woman back. I had to tell him, wait a minute, it's Amos' show. He wants to hear from her. Go ahead on. He has another young lady that you know about that he has bullied. And did what he wanted to do, and then say go to his website. He had the Brandon Johnson, Shantae. He tried to solicit money on the Facebook with the family without her knowing it. I mean, he has a problem with women. So he needs to own up to his mistake and apologize to the community and stop grandstanding and take a example from you on how real leadership should respect women. Our women are important to us. Those kids that seen that mess that day got mixed messages. So whether he got a bullhorn and he wants to be a leader, he needs to take the sideline, forget about being a congressman, and take and look at the mirror, look at the man in the mirror, and look at himself. And I'm sorry that you had to even go through this, Ajabu, but I can't let him disrespect you, Reggie, and then women like that. Okay, I got problems too. But this is just ridiculous. Peace out.
All right, let me back to the phones at Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Miss.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. I think the gentleman said it very well that just called in.
Yeah.
I agree with what he said. I often follow Ajabu, and it just seems that sometimes he uses position to promote I don't know, to look out for his son or whatever in the prison systems. And what his son did was really wrong. It was a crime, a heinous crime. That's my understanding. He's continued to commit heinous crimes. And I just think it's just shame on him if he didn't assist the young lady. Instead, it seemed more like he pushed her down and tried to take over the bullhorn at the event. And I don't know. I don't agree with his following as often. I just had to bring that out because, like I said, I think the last gentleman said it better. And thank you for taking my call.
All right, let me go to William. Hi, William.
Hello, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
Amos, I just want to say this first, then I'm going to come back to Brother Jabu.
Okay.
I went to the meeting up here in Lawrence, and I did meet some people on the city council and a bunch of them. I don't want to call names right now because I don't want to take up his time. But I did meet them, so we were working on it. I did bring up about the bus system. They they confirmed to me that we're working on that. We got things coming up. And so I'm going to have to wait and see on that. But,
okay, yeah.
Amoja Jabu, I've been knowing him and Sadiq and all those guys from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known Jabu to disrespect leadership or women all the years that I have known him. And I'm appalled that all these people is calling in that know him. I mean, they know him. T.G. Benjamin knows him.
Mm-hmm.
The bishop knows him. The bishop took him under his wings.
Right.
So, now you know the bishop. The mm-hmm. bishop wouldn't have did that if he didn't see something in this man. Because, see, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, people got loved ones that they want to vote for and all that kind of jab. I understand that. It's political year.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't vote for him. But you don't have to call in and make all these ungodly statements when you didn't see what really happened there.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, some of the people who have called are people who say that either, A, they were actually out at American Legion Mall on Monday, and we're talking about what they saw, or they have seen video that has been posted on YouTube. When I was first asked about it, I said I had not seen it in real time out at American Legion Mall. So all I knew at the time was what people were telling me. I've seen a couple of videos in the last 18, 19 hours. It was not clear to me that anyone was pushed down. That is not clear to me in the video.
Let me say this right quick.
Yeah, but what was clear to me is that something happened. What was clear to me is that the people who organized the rally, you know, asked him to kind of chill out, and that did not immediately happen. That's what I've seen in the video.
Well, if okay, yeah, you see, that's what I'm saying. See,
yeah.
But before this incident even happened,
mm-hmm.
He was on your show a couple of times there,
mm-hmm.
and I heard people just call in and make wrong statements about him.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't vote for you, no way. My sister told me about you. And
I understand. I understand.
Look, hey, what people say, they find the opportunity to cut you down. This is our community, black community. We do this badly. And so, and we need to stop some of this stuff, like that other gentleman called in and voiced it very well, too. That, you know, if that was Jabu's bullhorn, that was Hill's.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have to render it to nobody.
Yeah, but you have to respect the people that are putting on an event. You have to respect, you know, the folks that are in charge of the event.
He didn't know who was putting on the event.
And I heard him say that, but then my response would be, you ask.
Well, he might have did. I don't know, but he said he would see it on his YouTube.
But I
still stand by him.
I appreciate you calling and doing that and hearing the other side. I appreciate that. But anyway, let me move on. Let me move on to DJ. Hi, DJ.
And hearing the other side.
DJ, I need you to turn your radio down so I don't hear myself say myself 10 seconds after I say it. Hi there. DJ? We lost DJ? We've lost DJ. Let me go to Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. What's up?
I was at the march. I started out marching. And so when we got to the one place, I didn't know who Ajabo was or anything mm-hmm. like that. He was on one side, and then the woman that put it on, she was on the other side. So we walked over there. And so he went over there with his bullhorn. She was talking, and she said, let's have a moment of silence. And he was like, no, I have something to say. And so they was like, no, you know, let's do this. And he pushed another woman down. Like I said, I didn't know who he was. But from that incident, I said I lost respect for him because he put his hands on a female.
Hmm. And that's based on what you saw with your own eyes.
Yes, sir. That's based on what I saw. Like I said, I didn't know who it was until I just listened to your show.
Oh.
But from that incident, I said, you know what? I'm done. He put his hands on a female. I have no respect for him.
All right, I appreciate that, and it seems like, you know, particularly because this whole train of thought or call started from a sister when you're talking about what she saw on Monday. I appreciate it, Anonymous. Let me go to Kim at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi there, Amos. My comment is that I appreciate that you did take the leadership route, and, you know, leadership, part of it is supporting others and the organizers. You do need to be in support of them. And like you said, if he didn't know who was organizing, he should have asked. A lot of people are making comments about what people feel about Ajabu and their comments today. But even if you just go off what he says that he gave the bullhorn to her and that he was respecting her. And then when she started to say something about respecting the police, he did not like that. So he wanted to silence her. And since it was his bullhorn, he wanted to take it back. When you're in leadership, you need to be able to hear somebody else's opinion, whether it's different from yours or not. That's my comment.
Thank All right, you. I appreciate it. Now I think I got DJ back. Hi, DJ.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm fine. What's up?
I wanted to comment. The young man that called you late yesterday, he says, what can the young people do? You know, we've already experienced our, you know, we've benefited from things that we've done. And it really brought to mind, if I see one more Explorer or Excursion or these big old trucks with paper plates where people are taking all their money and buying a car that they can't even afford to drive, stop giving your money out of the community. That's the only way we're going to make a difference. That's the only way we're going to make a difference, because all the hair that's being bought and the eyelashes and the fingernails and all the doodads that we spend our money on, we only get a portion of the money. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to really focus on.
Great point. Great point, DJ. Appreciate it. Let me go to Gloria at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good. Well, my question is this. What did the lady actually say herself? Did she say she was pushed or not?
To be very honest with you, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Of the three rally organizers, see, I'm not sure which one. She was wearing yellow, if people have seen the video. And I don't know whether that's the lady that we had on this program last year. Either Thursday or Friday, and we were talking about the rally.
Yeah.
And we interviewed her. And it was not, the white young lady that we had on the program on, it was either Monday or Tuesday of this week. And getting her, actually it was on Tuesday. So I really don't know. And that would be, you know, critical to the discussion, because again, it's what people saw, either with their own eyes, you know, they saw two people at close quarters, and then they saw the lady fall. And so people are kind of, you know, was it a push? Was it, you know, somebody grabbing at something and then you lose your balance because there's that hill up there on that incline at American Legion Mall, or what the deal is? The video, you know, kind of helps it. But it's hard to kind of figure that out. But I think the key thing is people perceive an alleged disrespect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think regardless of the physical circumstances, there is a perceived disrespect that needs to be addressed. And I'm not sure In how I heard Reverend Ajabu's comments, that perception was really addressed. And yeah, it's nice to, you know, tell people to go to a website where you can talk for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. If you want to be a community servant leader, it's good to talk in an hour and a half, but you also got to learn how to make your point in a minute. If you can't make your point in a minute or a minute and a half, 2 minutes flat, you got a problem.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well, my concern is that, I mean, I know people are saying that she was pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying that he pushed her. But without her speaking for herself, I don't think people should insinuate things. I think people should really go to prayer on this and get some closure.
All right. Yeah, excellent, excellent point, my sister. Excellent point. And if the young lady is listening, give us a call at 239-1310, 239-1310, Alan Afternoons with Amos. Thank you, my sister. 239-1310, Pastor Drain is someone that was out there in that immediate vicinity, because I've seen him on these YouTube videos. Pastor Drain, can you share some light closure on all of this?
Bless you, Amos. And my phone just started blowing up. I'm at the park with my kids, and somebody said, man, call Amos because Jabu's on, he's on, and everybody wants to know what happened with the Jabu altercation. You'll have to bring me up to speed in terms of where you're at in the conversation.
Well, this all started for people who just started calling today. With they've either seen it, they were there and saw it with their own eyes, or they've seen. There's a couple of YouTube videos that are floating around, and they either say that they saw. Allegedly, Brother Ajabu pushed the woman down. They saw a woman fall. They saw a moment of silence being asked for, and he kind of overrode the moment of silence. Reverend Ajabu was on the program. And you know, actually, some callers were saying that Reverend Ajabu should apologize for his actions. He really didn't address that with us on this program, but he said that he was asked by the organizers to speak, but then a little bit later said he really didn't know who the organizers were, but that people kept asking him to speak and say something. So there is a lot of confusion. I think what people who were there saw something that they perceived was disrespect, whether they saw it live or they've seen it on Memorex.
Right. And you know, people are, people know what they feel, and they know what they see, and they know what they experience, and they don't need anyone to tell them either of those three things. I, being there and being in full support of the organizer in the week leading up to the march, the morning of the march, and during the march, and at that moment when the actual program was beginning to take place, let me just first say that the young woman in the video was not one of the organizers. I think that was maybe one of the questions.
That's
not one of the organizers of either of the marches. There were two marches. One was hosted by a group of college girls, Aisha White. I'm sorry, Camille White and Aisha Hill. The other was organized by Eru, Emily Caldwell. And she chose to lead that march from the middle. So when they left off from Christmas Addicts, she was actually in the middle of the pack. My recollection is that Ajabu, I don't know if he led the march because I was in the middle, but by the time I got there, he had a corner set up and was doing his thing with his bullhorn. Emily had her own bullhorn. She actually had a PA system that was scheduled to be set up in the mall for her organized demonstration, for which she got permission from the American Legion Mall, for which she had permits, for which she spoke with the IPD about, for which she planned and gave the route to media. And there was only one person scheduled to speak per her organized plans, and that was me.
Mm-hmm.
Once I saw Ajabu in his corner, he had a right to be there. Let me say that. As much as anyone else there, he had a right to be there. He had his own bullhorn. He had a right to scream at that bullhorn as much as he wanted to. But when I noticed that he was over there, I then instructed the actual organizer to go due north as far and as fast as she could, because I know Ajabu personally, and you know, ain't nobody gonna take a bullhorn from him.
Right.
I don't care, program or no program. And I think at the time when we were actually beginning the program, the first thing she did want to do was call for a moment of silence. That was in her plan. And for whatever reason, I'm not privy to, I don't know who told him to come over there or under what guys, he came, but at the exact moment she was calling for a moment of silence, that's when he said, I have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
And but the floor was not his. The floor was not his. The organized march was not his. And at that point, he was not authorized to say anything right there. And he was being disrespectful to the organization, though it wasn't a NAN or anything like that, but to this woman's plans and who had begun her plan and to roll with it. He disrespected the moment by interrupting abruptly, trying to interject. At which point, myself and others who he does respect, I have a working relationship with Ajabu from our days back at Light of the World. I was there. I was standing right between he and the actual organizer. Brother Nuri was standing to my left. overseer was standing behind me, and when he made his first interjection, the three of us kind of collectively stepped in to deal with him in a way that we felt was effective. And then this woman, who I don't know who she
this
was.
Is the lady in the, this is the lady wearing yellow.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, as we were defusing him, as you would expect us to do, mm-hmm. I guess you would call it positive restraint, mm-hmm. to Senator Jabu, we're not going to let you hijack this moment. Mm-hmm. He actually, I felt, was deferring to our leadership and me in particular as being, you know, the person who was with the actual organizer, you know, and I looked him in the eye and said, this is not going to happen. And he deferred to me. I felt he was deferring to me. And this woman, I believe, tried to take the bullhorn out of his hand. Mm-hmm. And he did push her off. He did push her off. We were on a hill. It was slippery. I slipped. And I don't know if she would have fallen if we were on flat ground. But nevertheless, you know, I was just repulsed by his antics from the beginning. And I wish she hadn't have jumped into that piece, because this was something, knowing Ajabu, his history, his even record, civil rights activist, I wasn't surprised to see him there. I wasn't surprised that he had something to say. And I wish that she hadn't tried to take it into her own hands, but she's in no way a victim or at fault of what happened after that. And so I'm hopeful that Ajabu will do the right thing and say the right thing from here. And from that point on, it was a very controlled and well planned, and it went well. I called the people to prayer. They united. They bounced back quickly.
Right.
You know, it didn't turn into something crazy. That was a second in an hour of wonderful love and unity. And within 30 seconds of that event, everyone was holding hands. They were lifted in the air, and all of those memorable moments began to take place. And so I'm still in the clouds over the positive impact and everything that took place.
Well, Pastor Drain, I appreciate, and I know the listeners appreciate the clarification. Go back to the park with the kids. All right.
Okay, bless you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoons. Davis will be back with our remaining moments after these. Got an email at praiseindia.com from Renee. She says, thank you and amen, Kareem and Pastor Drain. It couldn't have been said any better. Is Ajabu's behavior any different from Zimmerman? Ajabu has been a community watchman, but this time, unfortunately, he may have overstepped his boundaries. That doesn't mean that he hasn't been a good representative in the past or meant well, but he had an opportunity to fix this by simply apologizing on your show and missed his chance trying to vindicate himself and his son. For peace's sake, he should have just said, I'm sorry for whatever was perceived to be, especially since he wants to run for an elective office. If you can't respect the people of various backgrounds now, how will you listen and be just as an elected official in the future? Hats off to the grassroots organizers. It is no-namers unknown that God raises up to make a difference, because they have no agendas and act out of passion, not politics, and only God can get the glory, and the people are changed. Renee emails that at praiseindy.com to the phone, and Bill. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. Bill Crawford. How are you?
Yes, sir.
I was at the march. I stood on the parking lot of Christmas Attic 45 minutes prior to the march starting. I marched from Christmas Attucks over to the mall, and at the conclusion, walked back to Christmas Attucks by myself, because that's where I parked my car. I want to commend those people that organized that march. I participated in a lot of marches and demonstrations in this community over the years, and this was one of the better. Whether it was organized or unorganized, it was one of the better marches that I participated in, because everyone was there with a common objective, justice for Trayvon. And I am incensed. I am disappointed. I'm not incensed. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed that we are majoring in a minor.
Mm-hmm.
We are losing our focus. There's been a lot of discussion about interpersonal relationships and the conduct of some people. The issue was justice for Trayvon, and that has yet to be settled. And so all these other things we need to set aside. Set aside. I was asked three times to come up and stand near the leadership. I said no. I wore my hoodie. I was there to watch and participate and advocate along with the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I was advocating for Trayvon, not for, you know, I saw some things that I did not like about the march.
Right.
People carrying signs that I wish they had not carried on the march. But I was not going to raise that as an issue The important thing and the critical thing is, what were people there for? What motivated them to come out? And it was justice for Trayvon, and injustice anywhere, as Dr. King said, is a threat to justice everywhere. And I've got sons and grandchildren and one great-grandson. I cannot see this diluted, diminished. Let's focus on justice for Trayvon.
Good point, and a good way, and that's what leaders sometimes do, have to put things, Bill, in perspective. And I appreciate that, and I know our departed brother, who is on his way to his earthly resting place down at St. Meinrad, Father Boniface Hardin, would feel the same way, because you know he'd have been out there.
Yes, he would have.
And the interesting thing, and what's really struck me last night, I've seen Father Hardin, and you have, in many garbs over the years that I knew him. In the dashiki, in the African garb, in his clerical robes, in street clothes, in business dress, in casual dress. But he is going back to the earth, dressed in his Benedictine uniform, his Benedictine garb as a Benedictine monk. And I think people forget, unless you remember that old Errol Flynn Robin Hood movie.
Yes.
Where the abbot is there, Friar and he's Tuck. Walking. Yeah, Friar Tuck and them. And what did Friar Tuck wear as a monk? A hoodie.
A hoodie. Absolutely.
And I would like to have think that if Christ and God had decided to give Father Hardin a little bit better health and a little bit more time with all of us here, he'd have been out Monday in the rally for Trayvon in his Benedictine uniform.
He would have.
Would have been the hoodie.
His final salutation to his God,
yes,
and our God, was to give honor and glory to the Lord that made him.
Absolutely, and that's a good way for us to end today. Thank you, Bill Crawford. Thanks to all of you.